We're doing Sefer Amidot. We're up to Shar Hadat. He's discussing the knowledge, that strength, that force that causes us to act. And in the fourth chapter, he described that the Da'at is different from the Teva, from our nature, in two points. That Teva is there from the minute we're born, and Da'at is something that requires growth, and that Teva forces us to do its nature. Whether you like it or not, you'll be hungry and you'll eat. And Da'at does not force us to do anything. And he concluded the chapter with a discussion of the people who are aware of what God wants of them, and yet find a way of ignoring what they really should be doing in life. And now he begins the fifth chapter and says poetically, he says, "Ata nafshi nafshi," and now my soul, "shuti na bidrachayich." Why don't you take a stroll through your own actions? He says to himself, "Vishimi amarayich." He says to his soul, "Why don't you take a stroll through your actions and think and listen to what you've been saying? Vitbonini b'maasayich, and compare them. Take note to your actions. Ud'i ur'i, and I want you to know and see, ech pa'olayich soterim et evarayich. Look at how your actions contradict your words," he says to himself. He says to his own soul. Ki divrei fich rakira va'avat Hashem. Because when you speak, you're only talking about love of God and fear of God. Va'at ovedet Adonayich v'titpaleli elav. And you serve your master, you pray to him. Right? We're all good Jews. We talk to God. We pray three times a day. Our mouths, our lip service, if you just listen to what we say, we sound like we're amazing people. Aval sheker biminech. But the Magid Midubna says to his soul, he says, "You know, you speak so nicely, but you're full of lies. Ki en at bochenet avodatech," because you don't really analyze your service. Im avodahi im lo, whether what you're doing is really a service of God or not. Rakesus keferet en avin, but you're like a horse. You know, you're like a mule. They put blinders. He keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. He doesn't understand what he's doing. Ki im emet nachon hadavar she'at mekabelet alayich ol malchut shemayim, because if in truth you accept the yoke of heaven, what do you say every time you make a blessing? Bless are you, Hashem, King of the world. Could you imagine, you're talking to a king and you're drying your hands as you're talking to him. Blessed are you, Master of the world, right? As we roll up our tefillin, your master, you're omnipotent, you're so powerful. Yeah, I'm with you, right? Would we ever talk to our parent that way? Would we talk to anyone we respect that way? But we talk. Our mouths say, you're king of the world. Just think of Aleinu, right? What do we say in Aleinu? Aleinu is one of the most powerful prayers we have. Aleinu was composed by Yoshua. He entered the land of Israel and he saw all the pagans all around him, and he marveled at monotheism, and he marveled at the difference between us and them and our moral fiber and theirs. And he had such awe of the Torah, he composed Aleinu Shabeach. What do you say in Aleinu Shabeach? Va'anachnu kor'im u'mishtachavim lifnei melech malchei amlachim. We bow before the King of all kings. And everyone's wrapping up their tefillin and walking out. Shehu noteh shamayim, God, you spread out the heavens, ve'yosed aretz, you give foundation to the land. There are none like you, God. We're talking about how awesome God is. And what are we doing as we say Aleinu? We're walking out the door of shul. We've even turned our backs on the altar. So the Magid Midubna turns to his soul and says, "You talk so nicely, but your actions contradict your speech. Because if you'd really accept the yoke of heaven, v'titpaleli elav tvilatech, and if you'd really be pouring your prayer before him, v'tishpechi lefanav sichatech, and you pour your speech before him, madu alo nivru bach simanei ha'achna'a asher el ha'eved bifnei Adonav. Why don't I see your behavior reflect that? Why don't I see you behave in a form of subservience before the master?" There was a rabbi who lived in Tzfat, Rav Tzadka, not the one who was the head of Yeshivat Torat Yosef. His students were once visiting him, and in the middle of the visit, he went to Daven Mincha. The story is recounted by Rav Mutzafi. And Rav Mutzafi was one of the students. They went together to Daven Mincha. And they approached the shul. And when they got to the gate of the shul, they were in the middle of talking Divrei Torah. And Rav Tzadka started trembling. As he lifted his hand to kiss the mezuzah, he stopped mid-sentence. He was in the middle of teaching them something, answering a question. But he was entering shul. He was entering the house of God. And for him, that meant something. So he started trembling. And when he kissed the mezuzah, he couldn't continue talking to them. He put his hands across his chest, walked into the shul, walked and bowed before the Aron HaKodesh, kissed the Aron HaKodesh, went to his seat and sat down in complete silence. And only after that did he signal the students to come after him and went into a side room and continued explaining to them the concept in Torah study that they were studying at the time. That's all. That's a person who senses he's walking into God's home when he enters a shul. But to us it sounds fantastic. You know, we're eating our Snickers bar. I don't know, Snickers kosher, I don't know. We're eating our chocolate bar when we're sitting in shul. Well, so the Magid Midubna turns to his soul and says, if it were really true that you accepted the yoke of heaven, so then why don't you show subservience like a slave before his master? Kama mina yirava arad yavovach b'omdech lifnei pachadechat. How awestruck would you be if you'd be standing before some governor, you know full well when it's your university professor, when it's the guy who's deciding what degree you'll get, when's the cop who pulled you over and he's going to decide what kind of ticket he's going to give you. You're never going to see this guy again, right? What's the worst thing he's going to do? So he'll charge you 200 shekel, 500 shekel, 800 shekel. But at the end of the day, he gets back into his police car, you take off in your car, and you move forward with life. 800 shekel. 1,000 shekel. He'll confiscate your license. But life keeps going. You're talking to God, it's a question of life and death. We're approaching the day of judgment. And where are our thoughts and where are our actions? So the Magid Midubna says to his soul, you're a hypocrite. You talk like God's the master, but how do you act? When you stand before a cop, when you stand before a governor, you tremble. Why don't you take that same awe and apply it to God? How could it be that your limbs don't fall apart when you come to pray before the King of Kings, blessed is his name, that kingdom is fitting for him and none other? And you speak very nicely, the Magid Midubna says to his own soul. You say, blessed are you, Hashem. And how do you say, Baruch Ata Hashem? You say it like you were talking to your best buddy. Not like you're talking to a king. Right? Like we're talking, we're buddy, right? So he says to his own soul, he says, where's your wisdom? To show that you actually have fear of God. And you walk around peacefully, complacently, like you got no problems in the world. And then, what we'll see next time, he says, and if someone would ask you point blank, what's important in the world? You'd say, everything material is not important. You know how to talk nicely. But where are your actions? So that's Bezrat Hashem, where we'll pick up next time.